it's all a bit hot in here, and it's going to get even hotter. So I'm having to wipe my sweat down a little. So you know how they say these things. They say you say something into the air and it comes about. And you know, I'm the least religious person you'll have. You'll ever find, you know that. My only religion is my people and God, and that's it. Everything else is somebody else's problem. So remember last week we were gisting. Remember, Zainab?
Yes.
We're gisting. And what did I say? I said, perhaps we need to get Shawara into here. Seriously.
I said that. Right now.
And guess who is here, people? Omoyele Shawara himself. Yes, I'm talking about the one and only. You see, you cannot photocopy some people. Yele is one of those. You cannot put words in their mouth. Yele is one of those. They are individual in their individuality. They are focused, they are fearless, and they're not afraid of criticism. That's why I felt we had to have him here. Now, as you all know, he's been around the rodeo once, you know, 2019. He contested, he didn't win. And then, yes, 6 months, 8 months or so later, we then had Revolution Now. And then all of a sudden, they took him away. We didn't hear from him, yada, yada, yada. And all of that legal stuff happened. But soon as he was out, we started hearing from him again. So now, as you all know, 2023, he's contesting again. He's contesting to be, to lead, to be your president, to lead Nigeria. He's seeking for your mandate. Now, because INEC, we're now officially in the space where we can talk to candidates properly, as in electioneering has now begun. I think this is week two. See, some people are just coming back yesterday and mentioned, I did not say any names. They arrived yesterday. You people know my pigeon is rubbish. Them arrived for yesterday for private jet. I'm trying to copy Yvonne Ohai for now. Them get here yesterday for private jet. Okay, then say they're ready. They're ready to lead you. But some people never left. They've been here. They've been walking the beat and they've had their manifesto ready. My people, Damfo Conversationers, be ready. My guest today is none other than everybody's Mr. Revolution, Omoyele Shawara. Welcome.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Afternoon.
Good to see you. It's been a while.
It's been a while. Yes. It's been a good while. The last time we had a bit of a ding dong and a ding ding.
It's all right.
That's right. No, seriously, welcome. I'm so pleased. As you can tell, I'm pleased to have you here. When your people got in touch with me, they didn't know I had actually said that out on air.
Wow.
So when they say, put these things out, it happens. That's how it happened with Peter Obi. And now it's happening with you. So really, it's an honor because I may be sitting in front of the next president of Nigeria.
There's no doubt.
No doubt.
No doubt.
You're that sure, are you?
The time is here.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. Right, people, here's the telephone numbers. You know the studio line, 0700-993-993-993. The female-only line is 01465-7190. WhatsApp is 0809-597-5805. We are on our website, nigeriainfo.fm. On Twitter, we're on at Nigeria Info FM. On Instagram, we are Nigeria Info FM Lagos. YouTube, where you can see my CCO guy. You can see Yele's handsomeness. You know, this guy's all dressed up for me today. You can see him. He's in a three-piece suit. Yes, on YouTube at Nigeria Info 99.3. And we are on Facebook, all streaming live, by the way, Nigeria Info 99.3. You know, you can get in touch with us by Skype. Those of you that are in the abroad, we will be looking forward to hear from you. We never have enough time. It seems like we have an hour and a half, but honestly, it just it's just never enough.
Fast.
It
yeah.
does go very fast.
Yes.
So, Yele, you've been away.
Yes.
Let's start with, and we have to, I haven't had a chat with you since this whole revolution thing. In fact, the last time we saw was before, the week before the revolution.
That's right.
So, you contested in 2019.
Yes.
You lost.
I didn't lose.
Well, you didn't get up to 60,000 votes, did you?
No, they just allocated numbers to us.
Okay, so this is going to get interesting, folks, I told you.
Yeah.
So, technically or officially, you lost. As far as you're concerned, you didn't lose.
Yes.
So, officially, you lost. Some 6-8 months later, you then call for a revolution.
Yes.
Now, here's the issue, or should I say the question that I had in my head out of that is, how does somebody who contests within the same tier system to lead the people, yet wants to calls for a revolution against the mandate of the people? Talk to me about that.
Well, I've always been talking about the revolution. I believe the revolutionary life since my university days. And when I was contesting in 2018, I was talking about the revolution everywhere I went, both at home and abroad, that Nigeria is in need of a revolution and that we can take it both ways. We can take it by the ballot, or we can take it on the streets. And when the ballot was compromised, I just kicked into gear two or three or four, whichever one you want to call it, which is what I've always believed in. And I believe that had I won the election, that in itself would have been a revolution, because all those revolutionary things I wanted to do, I would have done as president of Nigeria. And so when I was arrested, just so you know, I was asked directly what I meant by the revolution. And
exactly.
I said that I want the system to change completely, that the system had to be overhauled completely. And they said, does it involve putting an end to the system as it is? I said, yes. Do you want to put this on record? I said, yes. So they took interrogated me for over 6 hours.
Wow.
Just on that alone.
Mm-hmm.
And they came back the second time, asked me to repeat some of those things. I repeated. And they took me to court. So I swore on that oath that I want a revolution. So there was never a time that I denied it, even though they wanted to release me 2 weeks after I was arrested, but because I won't renounce the revolution now, because they sent a whole delegation to meet me, they said, okay, we'll leave you there until, you know, you rot in jail.
Wow.
Yeah. And I told them, I said, look, you know, you don't understand what's going on in the country. One day, you're going to come in here and beg me to leave.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happened. 5 months later, knocked my cell and said, pack your things. That was December 20th. 2019.
So they just said, pack your things and get
let's
out.
Let's go. And I said, no, I need to take care of myself.
Yeah.
I need to take a shower. I've been arrested 2 days before protests hit the streets.
Oh,
I was arrested the 3rd of August. The protest still took place in over 20 cities in Nigeria on the 5th of August.
Oh, right. So you were in detention?
Already, yeah.
Okay.
I've been abducted and
didn't know this.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, most of them knew that. So they were shocked that in my head, regardless of my kidnap and detention at that point, that people still came out.
Okay.
But this is what to tell you, that the revolution did not stop, because it was after we did revolution now that NSAS happened.
Mm.
And these are natural follow-up to what we had called for. Before we did revolution, a lot of people didn't even think that you could confront the Buhari regime on the streets. Because after what they did to Chiefs, killing about 3,000 of them overnight over a small issue with the military, people were scared in the country.
Mm. So let's talk about now. What I did ask a question. What was it that you learned in that time that not only drives you to do this now, to come out again, but that you heard from the Nigerian people that motivates you to want to lead?
I realized that the Nigerian people were actually waiting for my brand of politics, or our brand of politics, unless it's mine.
Mm-hmm.
And they really wanted the revolution, and they still do now. It's just that sometimes when people talk about revolutions, they don't know that they don't happen overnight. The French Revolution took over 10 years before it finally hit. And the same for the Cuban Revolution. You know, there were people in the bush fighting, and one day they were able to get to the city. And the same thing happened even to the American Revolution. It didn't happen overnight. You know, it's usually a series of events, including sometimes elections. And then these elections become very flawed, or they are rigged, and the people say to themselves, we cannot be fooled anymore.
Okay.
So when you see people like us participate in elections, it's all part of the revolutionary process.
Right.
Because nobody would ever think that I'll be out of jail by now or participating in an election, because after I was taken to court, a judge, a Nigerian judge at the Federal High Court in Abuja, ruled on my bail condition I can't leave Abuja.
Okay. You've just
said it's never happened in Nigeria before that you're restricted to a city after you granted bail.
Mm.
Yeah. So you're asking, what did I learn? I learned that the Nigerian people are seriously looking for a different direction. And
okay.
Yes. And that was the driving force that kept me going even after I left detention. After my brother was killed, after I was shot at, after I was restricted. Don't forget that they've also charged me twice after my release, still in Abuja. And my restriction was just lifted some 3 months ago to travel out of. But my international passport is still with the government.
Right. Okay. We're going to talk about that. Here's the thing. You've said just now that the rigging of elections. Do you believe our electoral system is rigged?
Yes, it's rigged against the people.
Right. So if you believe it's rigged against the people, why then would you trust it to make you president? Because you said you're going to be the next president.
Yes, I'm trusting the people.
Right.
To take charge of their destiny.
Mm-hmm.
And when they do so, it doesn't matter how the elections are handled, they will triumph.
Okay. It's a good time for us to then talk about the democratic system that we have in Nigeria.
Yes.
In the world, you've got the presidential and you have the parliamentary.
Yes.
Which is your preference?
I prefer the presidential, but in
why
a
is that?
Real, yeah, I like the real federalism, I mean, federal system though.
Mm-hmm.
Like you have in the US, they have a president, but each and every one of the states have their own little autonomy. I mean, I don't want to see a federal government that's controlling traffic on the streets of Lagos. That's not the business of the federal government. Or that is issuing driver's license to people. No, the role of the federal government should be limited to defense of the country. And several other issues that the federal government is involved with now should be controlled by states.
Does that then fall into your idea of restructuring? Because one of the things that you write in your mandate is restructuring.
Yes.
Right. Tell me very briefly what... When you say restructuring, I've read it, so but I want you to tell us very briefly what you mean by restructuring. What exactly do you intend to restructure? Give us three.
Yes. I won't give you that many.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
The best way to restructure the country is to change the Nigerian constitution, to completely scrap the 1999 constitution, bring everybody together, to design a new constitution that accommodates what every, because if you talk to different parts of people in different parts of Nigeria, the idea of restructuring is different. Some people want regional government, some people want state police, some people want bigger control of the national pie, which is revenue. So, except we all come to a place where we agree that these things should be included in the constitution, you're wasting your time. You can do whatever you want with the constitution in terms of reforming it or repackaging it. It won't solve the problem except that document is redone and is made to pass through a referendum. A referendum is my operating word.
Right, so yes. That's what I was going to
yes.
say. So when you talk about a restructuring, you prefer the route of going for a referendum.
Yes.
Right, okay. So until you've done a referendum, how do you know the people want to restructure?
That's the point about bringing them together. I want to bring everybody together at the Sovereign National Conference.
Mm-hmm.
We would take it.
But there was a confab before.
Well, it depends on the intention of the confab. The confab we've had in the past have individual interests embedded in them. The one Obasanjo did was to corral people to let him continue as president of Nigeria third term. That was the agenda. They just every other thing was a ruse. The one that
but an Arosanya report followed that confab.
Yes, but the reason why this report don't carry weight is because the moment they don't satisfy their immediate needs, they don't follow through. Look at Jonathan. Jonathan did his own constitutional conference, so confab. But everybody said it was the greatest, but Jonathan was looking for a 7-year tenure. That was what he wanted. And the moment he didn't get it, he jettisoned that because the confab report had been submitted to him before he left office. Why didn't he implement them when he had the power to do so?
Okay.
And he had a majority in the Nigerian Congress, the National Assembly.
Okay. Here's a quote. One of the things that you said about restructuring from your mandate is true restructuring, and I'm quoting it, true restructuring should allow states to unlock the value of their own resources by themselves.
Yes.
You've talked about a constitutional change.
Yes.
That includes the executive
That's
list.
What I'm saying. You know,
that
all,
includes
all this
the concurrent list.
Yes.
But
yes.
Are you making account for the fact that the Constitution currently says everything that grows below ground in any land belongs to the government?
Yes.
What comes above ground belongs to the people, to put it loosely.
That's exactly what I'm saying. You know, it's the states, the people must come to a place where they say, look, we define this and we make it a law. It's in our books. It's in our law books. It's in our constitution.
Mm-hmm.
Say, we control resources within this geographical region. You know, if it is, if you want to measure it in miles or kilometers,
mm-hmm.
that's the duty of the constitution. It's just like there's a continental shelf, and most people don't know this, that if you're not careful, even in Lagos, the moment you start going beyond a particular continental shelf, that is the boundary between the lagoon, and it belongs to the federal government.
Mm-hmm.
And this was created by the Land Use
Act. But don't you
Act.
Agree that, don't you agree that at some point, because you've got to separate the federation
yes.
from the federal government, right?
That's what I'm saying, yes.
So the are you not conflating them as one?
No, the federal government is one of the arms of government recognized by the Constitution. And when I say the federal government, the one that takes the largest, the presidency. Yeah. And then we have the states, and you have local governments. And we are talking about restructuring. It's not even only the federal government that violates restructuring. I mean, the federal structure right now. The states are even the worst, because the states are taking monies meant for local governments, and they don't conduct local government elections so that they can take control of that money. And it's likely stolen. So they don't allow governance to percolate to mm-hmm. the grassroots.
And this is the thing. Again, we've only got a minute before the break, but I must say this. You mentioned about local government.
Yes.
President Buhari already signed an executive order that gives local government the power.
If it's not implemented, that executive order is not what the paper
published. But how do we know it's not implemented?
The local government are still not getting their funds. Okay. They're not getting elections.
All right. Are we going on break now? We'll be right back. I told you it's going to be interesting. If you thought you knew Shura, you've seen him on other interviews, not on this one. He's going to get a chance to tell you exactly what he's about. Be right back. Talking to Omoyele Sowore. Do you mind me calling you Mr. Revolution? it just sounds it's really nice and short and easy to remember.
Yeah.
Huh?
You know, it's sexy until you get to prison.
He's also got a sense of humor. Right, so we were talking about the... You were talking about restructuring, but we have so much to cover. Let's talk power.
Yes.
One of the things that you said you were going to do in your mandate was to increase power generation to something like, I don't know, 20, is it 21?
24,000 megawatts.
How?
To immediately expand using a mix of energy sources. I'm very, very pro-renewables.
Mm-hmm.
But I also understand that we're still not exactly there yet. So if you rehabilitate all of the turbines working at Kanji Dam,
mm-hmm.
you can increase to almost 500 megawatts more. Mm-hmm. But I want to focus on solar immediately.
Mm-hmm.
We may build solar farms that can generate up to 5,000 megawatts.
So you want to do solar. Do yes. you think that's why we are not generating enough power?
We're not generating enough, but our biggest problem is actually distribution. Transmission.
Transmission.
And then ultimately distribution.
Right. So
our transmission lines are incapable of even evacuating power, which is sometimes at 7,000 megawatts. So we are only able to transmit about 3,000 to 4,000.
Right. In that case, then, government will tell you that's why they've got the Siemens project. Do you not believe in it?
Do you know how long it took for them to even start the cement project? And the Siemens project has not even touched transmission yet. Since they started, they've only been able to bring in, I think, two transformers. And they have been celebrating it for 2 weeks now. and I'm sure it's still at the port.
Well, we must celebrate minor wins.
Yes. But don't forget that we had a deal with GE,
mm-hmm.
and they brought in turbines for some gas-fired plants before.
Mm-hmm.
And one of those plants did not leave the port because the port where it was dropped, I think it's somewhere in Sapele or so, Delta State, they didn't have a bridge that could take it across to where it would be hooked onto the national grid. And by the time they finished building the bridge, I think it was 5 years after, The warranty had expired and they couldn't actually use that turbine. So part of our problem is that we are still dealing with this very archaic way of working on power projects.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I talk about is to look at Egypt, look at Morocco.
But that's what Peter Obi talks about as well.
No, he didn't talk about Egypt. But his issue is, let's focus on what I know.
It's okay.
Going to Egypt to the dashboard of a power plant is not the same thing as understanding Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
So it's Morocco has gotten to a level where they are actually selling power to some European countries.
Yeah.
Yes. Because people don't understand that power generation, transmission, and distribution is not limited to providing for your country alone. It's big business. If you have the capacity, you can sell to the entire West African region. And Nigeria used to do that.
Here's the thing,
but
though.
But I'm not going to do the Father Christmas one with you. Yeah.
We look after ourselves first. Yes. Here's the thing, though. All of these things cost money.
They do.
Right? You want to raise us. I think that's three times what we're probably generating at the moment, if not four times what we're generating at the moment. How are you going to pay for this?
So many of these projects can pay for themselves. And this is what Nigerian leaders don't talk about. If this country, let me give you Lagos alone. If Lagos had 24 hours electricity, do you know that it immediately means that you can also have three shifts of work in Lagos? That is, some people work from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m., another group, and another overnight. Industries will spring up, small businesses will start making money, and they'll pay taxes. And you know that Nigeria's tax revenue is the lowest on the continent of Africa, not everywhere. That's our tax-to-GDP ratio. You understand?
Yeah.
But I know what you're asking for.
Where will the initial capital come from? Yes.
So do you know that in case of Siemens, the German government was willing to fund that project for us? And there are a lot of companies out there, a lot of funds out there that are willing to support this initial takeoff of this one because they know that even if they invest, their return on investment will also be a big deal for them. What I won't do is to put our country in a cutthroat situation where you just go and get money. You don't ask what is the interest rate, and the money comes
in. Well, government knows the interest rate they're paying right now. It's not that they don't. We can't say they don't. They will tell you that they know the interest.
That's what they tell
you. The cost of the loans that they've got right now.
But the thing is, what are we borrowing for? We're borrowing to pay salary. We're borrowing to eat.
But you've just told me you're going to have to borrow yourself. Whether we're borrowing to do this, whether we're borrowing to do that, we have to borrow.
The problem with borrowing is that every country in the world borrow money.
That's
including
right.
Including the U.S.
That's
the U.S.
right.
has a debt clock on 14th Street in New York. We used to sit in front of it because it will tell you how much of it is yours.
Yeah.
So, but our problem is that our debt to GDP is not out of hand. Our problem is debt to revenue. And the reason is that they are stealing amongst themselves 700,000 barrels of oil on a daily basis.
Okay.
Yeah, they just said yesterday, this is Nigeria, wonderful country, you know, inverse wonder, is that they just found a pipeline that's been stealing crude that has been around for 9 years.
Yes, I saw that.
9 years. I mean, which country exists in the world where they've been stealing crude from you for 9 years? You can't detect it because it's official, of course. They own those pipelines, you know, maybe they figure out another one and they would just fool the public by saying, oh, we just discovered it. And we're all supposed to clap.
Well, now that you mentioned fuel, let's talk fuel subsidy.
Yes.
What are your thoughts?
I'm not removing fuel subsidy.
You're not?
No.
Why not?
Because the only thing that Nigerians get from the Nigerian crude is that little subsidy. What I would remove is the subsidy that the crooks in our system get. Those people who are importing fake fuel, importing...
But subsidy is costing a lot of money. I mean, even Kenya just removed subsidy.
The subsidy... That costs a lot of money is the subsidy of the elite.
Yeah, but Kenya just removed subsidy. Are you saying even Kenya is because of the subsidy of the elite?
Have you heard that Kenya produced crude before? I'm not aware that they have crude oil in Kenya.
The fact is they are removing subsidy
because
they realize
they don't produce crude oil.
So you're saying because we produce.
We should. You see, do you know that a certain amount of barrels of crude is allocated to refining locally? Every day. And regardless of whether we are refining or not, they are still selling it. and it goes into private pockets. See, I know you might disagree with me. But you
no,
know
this, I'm not here to disagree with you. I'm here for you to tell
the
people.
I know these people very well.
Mm-hmm.
But let me tell you the gimmick. Mm-hmm. The gimmick is to make people believe that subsidy is eating up the country. But do you know that kerosene is not subsidized?
Exactly.
Yes. So why are we not benefiting from it? Diesel is not subsidized. Why are we not benefiting from it? Diesel is at 1,000 naira sometimes.
Because the majority of people do not use diesel. The masses
Who told
are not.
You?
But the masses are not dependent on diesel.
No.
They are dependent on kerosene and petrol.
No, the masses are dependent on diesel. Most generators that are running even your office here.
Yeah, but that's the offices. No. Those are private sector. Diesel is
diesel is massive. You can quote me. It's massively consumed in Nigeria. There are even very.
No, I'm not saying it's not massively consumed. Yeah. I'm saying to you.
So the point I'm making
is that. Not the
what about
the,
kerosene? What about kerosene?
Yes, kerosene is and it's liberalized, right?
Yes. Who is subsidizing kerosene? Nobody.
Yeah.
It's not removed from subsidy.
Yeah.
So, and the game they play on us all the time is that the moment we remove the subsidy, we will put this aside for social welfare affairs.
Mm-hmm.
So, where about the one you got from diesel, from kerosene, from gas, from jet A1 fuel?
Mm-hmm.
Why is it that those benefits are not accruing to the people?
Okay.
So, it's only that of petrol because it's a game. It's a game. And we are out to end the game because we know the trick.
Mm-hmm.
We know them inside out.
My gosh, we're running out of time. I wish this show was going. You people, you need to calm down. You know I get to talk to my guest first. Messages everywhere. Everywhere. I will come to you. Whew, I wish you had more time. Right. One of the things you talked about was minimum wage.
Yes.
Right? You talked about increasing minimum wage to 100,000. That's whopping. That's three times what it is right now.
You call it whopping?
Well, it's huge compared to where we are right now.
Who in this country, let me ask you, who in this country can live on 30,000 naira?
But that is not what I'm saying. What I am saying is, if you want to increase minimum wage to 100,000, where is that going to come from again?
Have you asked me how much it will cost? If we increase minimum wage by 100,000,
how much it will cost you?
Yeah,
go ahead, tell us.
It will cost the government only about 1.1 trillion, 1.2 trillion naira.
Mm-hmm.
That's the maximum cost of it, of the way we want to start it. Because the way our minimum wage increase will not happen all across board.
Right.
That is to say, those who are already enjoying maximum wage. We are not going to increase.
Well, of course, the maximum wages will not fall into the minimum wage space.
So we'll go for the most important thing is that we're talking about a living wage here.
Yeah.
An average worker in Nigeria cannot spend 30,000 naira a month.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just break it down very quickly for you. Is if you are going from home to work. Anywhere you are working, even if your office is next door, you are not spending less than 500 naira now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? So that already, in 30 days, has consumed 15,000 naira. You're going to eat.
Do you
you're
think
going to
government,
pay rent. So it's about...
But do you think government earn enough to be able to pay more than 30K?
Yes. Government earn enough because our lazy senators and House of Rep members are collecting 14 million naira. A month. If you are earning 30,000 naira a month, you have to work for 38 years to earn what a lawmaker in Nigeria is earning a month. That's unfair. Lecturers, that is university professors, all right? Those ones are earning maybe 600,000 naira. The maximum wage of any professor is about 600,000. They have to work for 8 years to earn the salary of a lawmaker. But if you are not talking about the lawmakers, maybe you say they're working too hard, but I don't see them. They're hardly working, right? It's, think about our very, very lovely officials, like this, the Accountant General of the Federation, who just walked away with 150 billion.
Yeah, but let's
billion naira, 150.
I get that. We won't get to corruption.
You divide 150 billion naira by how many workers if you are paying 100,000. How many workers that will pay? That's just one person.
I get it. Yeah. But let's move away from that. We've got, when you say you are going to be paying the people 100,000.
You make it sound like it's $100,000.
Well, it's 100,000 naira.
I mean, this doesn't even pay this doesn't even buy a recharge card for some of you.
Oh,
yeah.
I promise you, I don't spend more than 10,000 naira a month on recharge card. And that's even including you.
That's already, you know, somebody's salary in a month divided into three.
My point is, let's focus on earning.
That's
where
what I'm saying.
If we can talk about, because we'll get to the point of talking corruption. My gosh, why is we don't we have enough time? Where is the earning going to come from? We'll talk about corruption after this. Literally, we'll move on. I've discussed
with you that our tax rates are low. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not increasing taxes. I'm just ensuring that we collect taxes. Mm-hmm.
So you're not going to increase taxes, but you're going to ensure we collect taxes.
Yes, that our tax to GDP ratio is too low.
Right.
Like if we collect, we'll have...
And you're going to get taxes from the masses as well? These same people you're going to give 100k
to?
No,
if you give them electricity, you give them roads,
mm-hmm.
they will happily pay taxes. You know that many people want to pay taxes in Nigeria, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the government is not interested in collecting taxes. Do you know why? Because if you collect taxes from people, they will be on your neck or your behind.
Okay.
But Nigerian government prefer to just get free money. They don't like to be disturbed, you know, because tax brings about representation. Yeah, what used to cause problem mm-hmm. in Yoruba land, in Igbo land in the past.
But you do know that it was because women go and fight. I get
because they're made to pay taxes. Like, what are you doing with the taxes?
I get it.
Yes.
But I do have to say that this APC government in Lagos State especially, one of the things that you mentioned is that you're going to do is to empower small and medium-sized enterprises and mm-hmm. all of those things. One of the issues they complain about is stealth taxation and overtaxation. FIRS collect taxes. APC is priding itself on collecting taxes. LIRS is on of annex. But anyway, let's move on because the lines are going crazy.
You don't want me to talk about APC and tax collection.
But you
scams.
Okay.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. The other thing you mentioned about was education. I think it is because I had some notes. Let me just look. Yeah. You talked about education. Talk to me about education very quickly.
Massive investment in education.
Mm-hmm.
We've said this and we have no apology about it. If I had been the president of Nigeria in 2019, Nigerians missed out on that opportunity. There would have been ASUU strike today.
Why? What would you have done?
Because as far back as when I was in the university, I knew what the lecturers were asking for. At that time, they were asking for 3 billion naira.
Mm-hmm.
The Nigerian government won't pay because they don't believe in education. Now, they're asking for about 1.2 trillion naira to be paid.
Would you pay them if you were the president?
Six tranches, I can afford that.
Because
it's education. You don't play with education.
Because ASUU asks, ASUU will get because it's education.
No, it's not because ASUU asks. ASUU is not asking you to pay it into their private accounts.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to get an alert
mm-hmm.
from it. They're just saying invest in education, expand education opportunities for citizens, because you know there are only 1.7 million Nigerian youths going to higher institutions out of 200 million people. That's low.
Does everybody need to be in higher institution?
They don't have to be, but we have to allow those who want to go there to go there.
What about the argument that what we need to do is invest more in technical colleges, technical institutions that empower, because not everybody wants to go to university.
That is the World Bank prescription.
No. That is something that happens in other...
What is not technical about me that studied geography
uh-huh.
and I'm a journalist today?
Yeah, but
just
there,
obtain
there
education,
also,
you can do whatever you want with
yeah,
it.
Yeah, but when not everybody needs to get a degree.
Yeah.
There are lots of people.
Let people
who don't
want to get a degree. You know mm-hmm. what I would do?
Mm-hmm.
We can divide the degrees into two. I'm a big fan of community colleges in the US.
Mm-hmm.
They call it associate degree. You might want to just work as an accountant in the local government. You don't want to go too far. Get a 2-year degree.
Okay.
Yes. So what I would do is convert all the technical, colleges of education,
mm-hmm.
Polytechnics, into universities.
Mm-hmm.
So that you can go there and get whatever you want. There's no need for polytechnics and colleges of education because anybody should be able to get a degree from any higher institution in Nigeria. The moment you call it higher, it should go take you to the highest.
Highest. Okay, look, I've got... Okay, where do we start from? Telephones or WhatsApp? Where should I start? My Oga, tell me. Okay, they tell me to start from WhatsApp. Sorry, peeps, I'll be answering your calls in a minute. And honestly, you're only going to get 30 seconds to drop your question. You snooze, you lose. This is your lead that I've got here, you know. Good afternoon, Radio Diva. Don't you dare call me a diva. I'm a broadcaster. Sisi will get to you. Anyway, I am Obinna from Shita. My question for Mr. Sowore is, when you become the president of Nigeria in 2023, would you be able to resolve the issue of the climate change that is causing flood in some parts of the Nigeria? I think you should write them down and I'll read them
out. Don't worry.
That was one of my questions. Hello, Sisi Oge. I commend your level of journalism. Thank you. Yele does as well. He won't say it on air, though. I'm a big fan of Down for Conversations. Yeah, yeah. But this is my first time to reach out. I'm doing so because you have my president on your show. My question to my president, sir. There are a lot of homeless kids and citizens of Nigeria and are either sleeping under the bridge, and this has made them become miscreants. How would you approach this, sir? And would we still have Nigerians in those countries, in this country being without shelter under your presidency? I love you, sir. My name is Funke from Kuramo. Okay, next question here. The Infayin family led by, Nongwan. Right, hello, Sisioge. Welcome to our guest. Oh, welcome to, yes, he says, thank you. I am in Lekki. Sowore's manifesto is very beautiful, but I suggest to him to merge with other smaller parties to support Obi to kick out this ruling party. We'll talk about that possible coalition if he's into that later. Next question. Hi, Sowore.
Hello.
I know activists often get into politics without any track records of achievement. Apart from the activism, what do you have or have you achieved to make you qualified for this number one seat in Nigeria? I'll read this one and then I'll give you a chance to answer. Mm. My question, Mr. Sowore, is there any problem between you and Peter Obi? I am Ben Praise. Okay, you got 5 minutes. We're running out of time.
Yeah.
I'm going crazy.
So climate change, flooding in Nigeria.
Mm.
A lot of people don't know that the flooding in Nigeria is not only climate change.
Mm-hmm.
We've had an issue with a lake
mm-hmm.
in Cameroon.
That's right.
Since 1983, they came and begged Nigeria, come and figure out how, because mm-hmm. we don't have the capability to dam the lake. It breaks
mm-hmm.
when the rainy season comes. Nigeria didn't do anything about it. If Nigeria were serious as far back as 89, we could have by now built a tunnel that would be taking that plenty of water to Lake Chad.
Okay, Lake Chad, that's what they didn't do, but they can't. So what are we going to do about the climate change that is happening?
Yeah.
Because it's a combination
issue.
So
the climate change is the reason we are in full terrorism now, because the Lake Chad has dried up to, it's only 10% of the Lake Chad that is left. And all those Fulani people that used to go around with the cows used to go there to get water. And
so what will you do about desertification then, which is what you're talking about effectively?
Well, then a part of how we deal with desertification is solar energy.
Okay.
You know, do you know that if we cover so many of those deserts up with solar panels, it will retain water?
Okay.
And we can use it to grow, but you can grow forest in what is now known as deserts.
You're going to grow a forest. We already have Sambisa, which is causing us all these problems.
I'm just giving that as one of the examples, you know. But there are clear, because we don't have time, there are clear delineation for how to tackle climate issues. And we just need to be part of that conversation also globally.
Okay.
Because it has to do with lifestyle too.
Mm-hmm.
We are consuming, we're not, some of the candidates say they don't even know what is green energy. They don't know what green, how to green a country.
Okay.
So, but you don't have time. The second question was about housing.
That's right.
It's part of our program.
Homelessness.
Massively housing in this country. But
yes, it's in your manifesto.
Yes. So we know how many houses are needed. And we must, it's part of where employment will come for the youth. As
there's still money. Owo ni koko.
Yes, owo ni koko. But people are reclaiming rivers and seas right in front of you here, mm-hmm. spending billions of dollars, not naira,
mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
which could have been used to build a completely new Lagos.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Its priority is understanding.
Lagos is not Nigeria, though.
No, but where do you think the money is coming from? At the end of the day, it's all oil money.
Yes. Okay, what's the other question?
Yes. People saying that we should merge with smaller parties.
Well, we'll talk about that. I want you to hold on to that. We'll talk about that after. Let's answer some calls. Hello?
Morning. Good morning and good afternoon. Sorry, please.
Oh, not same as they say.
It's not traffic, also have no vex.
No.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you. How's everything, my brother?
Very quickly, 30 seconds. We have lots of people calling.
you have a black idea, why don't you merge with any other smaller parties to form a good government for the country? Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Stay listening. You'll get the answer to that later. Hello? Hello? You snooze, you lose. Hello? I can't hear you. You snooze, you lose, people. We don't have time. Hello?
Hello.
Yes, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
What's your name and where you calling from, please?
My name is Ekaite. I'm calling from Agbado.
Ekaite, you got 30 seconds. Go. Your question, please.
And please, I want to ask him, what is the plan for physically challenged people in his own program? What is his plan?
Thank you very much, Ekaite. He will answer. Stay listening. Hello?
Stay one step.
Hello?
Hello? Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. What's your name and where are you calling from?
My name is Joy.
Okay, Joy, go ahead with your question.
I want to ask him, how are you going to collect our money from this elite that will be taking our resources away? Thank you.
Thank you very much. Keep listening. Hello? Okay. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, good afternoon. Where are you calling from?
Yeah, this is Obi calling from Ikeja.
Obi, go ahead. Your question, please.
In my brother, a lot of programs, I've not been seeing your food soldiers. I don't know who are those working with you.
Okay.
Sorry, because you must be present before you begin to, you know, execute your programs.
Okay, thank you so much. We're going on break right now. When we come back, sure. Omoyele Sowore, the presidential candidate of the African Congress, will be here to answer all those questions and much more. Stay listening. Okay, we're back. We really don't have time. Honestly, we don't have time. Right, okay. Yele, you heard some of those questions before we went on break. You've got 5 minutes to answer as many of them as you can.
Well, somebody was asking me a question about corruption.
That's right. Well,
so what would I do to get back all the money?
But I would like to hold that till when we talk about corruption and security.
I think some of that question
we talk about security later.
My food soldiers.
That's right. Where are you?
They're all over the place. But you know, we just started campaigning proper, mm-hmm. and we're going to have more people mm-hmm. out there. You know, in this election season, we are contesting against the money bags.
Mm-hmm.
Apart from myself, there are four candidates who are former governors who spent mm-hmm. 8 years as former governors, and you know how padded these guys are.
Yeah,
I'm the only candidate until one of them joined me recently that raises money on a daily basis, crowdfunded.
So, yeah, but you can't be the only one because I understand.
I'm saying on it publicly.
Yeah.
Yes, I say until one joined me because I started this 2019.
But crowdfunding. Obedience are also raising money.
That's why I said they just joined.
They just
joined. Yes.
Okay, what have I got here?
Yeah.
Right, let me look at this question. Here we go. Cecil Gekola from Ilukweju. Kudos to Comrade Shirley, please. Who owns the prepaid meters for the disc? Oh, that's. You can ask your supplier that. Right, your guest in the studio is absolutely right on diesel. Nigerian economy is run on diesel. Higher the prices of diesel, higher the cost of products and higher services.
Absolutely.
Many businesses have shut shop of late because of high cost of diesel.
Yeah.
In some countries like India, petrol is sold at higher prices so as to subsidize diesel because of its mass consumption. So what he's saying is sell petrol at a higher. Guess who's here? Yvonne.
Mm-hmm.
It's news time. See what I mean? This is what they do to me. So, before I go back to the calls, because we're literally in the last 20-odd minutes or so, let's talk security.
Yes.
And let's talk corruption. Which one do you want to talk about first?
We can do...
Go ahead, security.
Yes. People must understand.
What is your solution for security?
The solution is to just break it into three solutions.
Tell us.
The immediate one is to do whatever we can right now to stop the bleeding. And I have said, I'll repeat here, that if it requires bringing in mercenaries into Nigeria, I will do it.
That sounds scary.
It is scary, but you know what? The Nigerian security system has also become mercenary to the elites and greed. Yes.
Wouldn't you say that's a huge, huge accusation?
It is. I'm a presidential candidate. I can defend it anywhere.
Defend it.
That
what you've just said,
that they are corrupt and, you know, that they will do anything for money, to the point that even if it's not in the interest of the country, they will do it. We found policemen, soldiers who are working with Boko Haram. You know, some of them even wrote a joint letter recently that was published that they have already started taking to crime because they are underpaid and that they are...
Is that a good enough excuse, though?
It's not a good enough, but it's clear that they're incapable of solving the problem right now. And we need to solve that problem. Our citizens are more important than our national pride.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we are not careful, there will be no nation to be proud of. If bandits, terrorists, I don't even know why you're calling, we separate bandits from terrorists anyway. They're all doing the same job.
Yeah.
And doing a damn good job at decimating the country.
Mm-hmm. So you said three.
Yes.
Right.
So the second aspect one is, of course, to start building a security system, put in place a security system now that will be able to tackle and foresee some of these threats that is coming in the future. And it involves training, proper training. It involves remuneration. It involves troop rotation on time, because a lot of troops have been fighting for 5 years now. You keep them in the first place, they're atrophied. It involves, you know, gathering intelligence, analyzing them, and understanding what threats we're faced with. A lot of people think that our security threats are only physical, you know, but this national security threat you're talking about just now, how much crude is stolen on a daily basis.
So
those are national security issues.
Yes.
You know, and there's a homeland here that needs to be taken care of. Where that comes into play is who are Nigerian citizens living on Nigerian soil today? You don't even know them.
Right. Yes. So you're talking immigration.
Yes. So part of it. But the final one, before we forget, is ensuring that there's economic security for people in this country.
Right.
You don't put youth to work, you're deceiving yourself. All those 20 million kids, according to UNESCO, who are not in school, you better be preparing for their prison uniforms in the future if you don't send them to school. And if you don't pay people, you don't pay pensioners, you don't have in place how to protect, like somebody was asking about fiscally challenged people.
That's right. That was the other question. Yes. What are you going to do about those?
Those ones, I don't like to call them fiscally challenged people, because the so-called fiscally challenged people in Nigeria are even doing better at the Olympics than the non-fiscally challenged Nigerians anyway. They are the ones doing us proud. But it's a range of support system for them. It's part of the social security that I'm talking about.
Right.
Like you walk around in this country, even in Lagos, where they pride themselves as having public buses,
mm-hmm.
you don't have systems in place to even help someone using a wheelchair to get on a bus. You don't have in any federal office that I've come to in this country. I've been to a lot of federal offices in Abuja. How a physically challenged person, a wheelchair-bound person, can even get in an office except five people carry them. You know, so you don't have scholarship for them. You don't have special schools for them. It's not until recently that we even start translating our public news through for people who might have hearing disabilities. So there has to be a national policy that makes life easy for this population, because they are huge. They are huge. I hate to only use them when there are elections. You go and post with pictures, so then you suddenly realize that they are there. As soon as the elections are over, nobody talks about them. You cannot do it by doing giveaways. It has to be national policy for them. And I don't see that yet on the scale that I expect, because that's why I said
I believe there is a parastatal that looks after the physically challenged, which means there must be a policy.
Yeah,
otherwise, the parastatal wouldn't have anything to work to.
The fact that we're even using a parastatal shows that we don't think that they are part of society. It's just what I say about
parastatals are arms of government. No, that's supposed to make
it's just like I'm saying
things closer to the people.
When I go crazy when people say Ministry of Women Affairs, you know, and everybody's like clapping. I was like, where is the Minister of Man Affairs? It's discrimination.
That's a whole different debate. Exactly. And you're trying to trigger me. Yeah. That's a whole different debate.
Let's talk about
corruption.
Yes. So corruption.
Yeah.
I don't even know where to start. But my first priority with regards to corruption is to prevent it. Because we have learned a big lesson that the moment
how
people
do you
take
prevent corruption?
Well, technology is big deal out of it, you know.
Okay.
It's something even as important as blockchain technology can help us prevent corruption.
How?
You see, our procurement contracting system in this country is still.
You have e-procurement already though.
Who is using it?
Are you sure they're not using it?
They're not. They're circumventing it. But
that's different.
Yes. No,
I'm systems, saying systems, people, process.
And if you are saying e-procurement, e-procurement is not enough if you only create a form on a computer, fill it, and it goes to the person. No.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying where corruption happens is not the paper. It is where the payments are made, you know. And you must have a means or trigger that says if a minister has just approved certain amount of money and is traveling through the pipeline, we can stop it.
Checks
I use
balances.
An example mm-hmm. that I used to carry a credit card for a company I work for, mm-hmm. Catholic Charities in the U.S. If you buy anything more than $15, if you buy fuel, the credit card will be declined. Because they don't want to get to the point where
they
just...
Yeah, they've put a limit
there,
right? So even, you don't overspend.
Even your vehicle you are driving, if you go more than 60 miles per hour...
Yeah, but that's on a very micro level.
No,
they're
not micro.
Talking about the whole country.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying that these things are important. I'm just giving you small examples
right.
of how you can prevent corruption, you know. I'm saying...
Do you really believe you can prevent corruption?
Oh, absolutely. I've done it as an individual.
To what percentage?
To the barest minimum. I've done it as an individual. An individual. I started a website 2006, and it went after almost every corrupt person at one time or the other. I was able to prevent corruption just by proactively publishing a lot of things that are in the pipeline that would have cost Nigeria millions of dollars, if not billions. I did it to the point that Nigeria that don't used to jail people were jailing people based on reports that I did. You understand? I know they hated me for it, but if I could do it, on the laptop, you can imagine if I'm president of Nigeria. I'm not saying the kind of president that doesn't know how to use computers, because part of our problem is just we have too many analog people on the horizon. Yeah.
So is it? Look, I had Peter Obi sit there in that exact same seat where you are at.
Was that done on purpose?
That's the special chair for special people.
Who's taller?
I say nothing,
exactly.
Right? So here's the thing. I had Peter Obi sit there, and he's been governor. He did two terms as governor of Anambra State.
Yes.
And he said exactly the same thing, that he was able to stop corruption because, of course, if the top is not rotten, the bottom can't be.
It's not enough.
He showed how he was able to implement it because he was the chief security officer of a state. You haven't been that. Mm. Even though you've done this example, and I said to him at the time, the state is different to the whole country.
Yeah.
And I'm saying to you, you haven't been governor of a state, so you haven't tested your ideas or your initiative, and you think it's going to work across the country?
Of course. I've never been governor before.
Yeah.
But I've used my own personal experience to fight corruption on a global scale.
Okay.
I was detecting homes, you know, bought by Nigerian governors or government officials that are in millions of dollars.
Okay.
Detecting them on my own, making them public to the extent that some of them were caught and some of them were made to, return those money. The U.S. had used my reports to recover money before they eventually came back to Nigeria.
Okay.
So I'm not just making up these stories. These are things you can verify, you know. Corruption can happen at any level, at the top, at the lowest. In fact, it is known in Abuja that the people they call permanent secretaries
mm-hmm.
are more deadly,
mm-hmm.
corruption-wise, than even ministers.
Yeah.
In fact, it is not until they show you how to steal, it is then that as a minister, you get enough to steal. So, but I'm saying that if an individual like myself
mm-hmm.
could have put in place an initiative that has been fighting corruption now for about 16 to 20 years of my life. I started fighting corruption when I was in the university.
Okay.
How will it be difficult for me as president to know how to trace money, track money, and ensure that they don't leave the country before, you know, we get them back? Because the moment they leave is difficult. And let me tell you one thing,
mm-hmm.
and because people say this all the time,
mm-hmm.
why bother if people have already stolen money?
Yes, well, I don't say that, but
yeah.
Go ahead.
I will bother because we are still getting alerts mm-hmm. from Abacha. And Abacha died in 1998.
Yeah, but there's a whole... Look, we're not even going to talk about that because some will tell you mm-hmm. that Abacha loot was not so much stealing. They were put away. However, you mentioned Abuja.
Yeah.
I think it's a good opportunity for us to discuss. You mentioned one of the things you mentioned was about... you know, the stealing that's going on in Abuja and everything. Do you think Abuja as the capital is a drain on our resources?
No, I think what is a drain on our resources is that we still maintain this large, I mean, huge bureaucracy of governance. Right. I want to reduce that. I want to make government more compact and more efficient and less expensive. And one of my proposals is to get rid of the Nigerian Senate. If we can get to...
You want to get rid of the Senate?
Yes.
Yet you want a presidential system. You've said on this show
no, you can have a presidential system of government that has a unicameral legislative system.
Right.
They have that in South Korea.
Right.
And recently they also got rid of their Senate in Senegal. So it's nothing new.
So if you're not going to get rid of Abuja, you like Abuja, you agree that Abuja should stay as...
It's the capital, but right. what we can do is to reduce but the number of people.
But that same capital has cost us some close to 400 billion in the 40 years or so that it's been created.
Yes, if we, until such a time that...
Imagine what could be done with that money.
No, please, I agree with you. What I'm saying is that we'll get to a point where physical offices will be eliminated.
Okay.
But it's not going to happen overnight. You know, I do it. Yes.
Okay. Apparently, I've got to go. I need to pick up calls and answer. This is crazy. We don't have much time left. Gosh. And I still haven't talked to you about what happens.
Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. What's your name? Quickly. 10 seconds.
This is Ahmed Kuti from Oworonsoki.
Ahmed, put your question through, please.
It's Omoyole Show, right?
Thank you. How are you? Good afternoon,
Good afternoon,
sir.
My brother, Victoria Asata.
Thank you.
Yes, I like your ideology. I know your ideology stands out.
Mm-hmm.
But as you and I know, there's no perfect human being. I would have loved...
We need questions. You've got 10 seconds. Quickly, quickly.
I would have loved if you can merge with a party, a smaller party, not APC and PDP.
We will be talking about that after. Stay listening. Thank you so much. Hello? Hello? You snooze, you lose. Hello?
Good afternoon, ma.
Good afternoon. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
My name is Kingsley. I'm calling from Jakonde.
Kingsley, go on ahead. Put your question through, please.
Ma, I like that man very well.
The man's name is Omoyele Sowore.
Yes, I like him so much.
Okay.
But like, person we're born in Jakonde for street. May help us first. We'll go vote for him. We're hungry. May vote. May do something for us. Agbado, Iju Shaga. No, we get where we even they live. We not get where we they live. We live for Paco. But listen to radio station there, yeah, Sweet World, because I know them, I work with them, I'm a driver. They know they help us, so. But they help us first, the common workers in the streets. Now we go come and vote for them.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you so much. He's heard you. Hello.
Hello. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. What's your name, please?
Yes, I just wanted to say to Shore that America is 360-something years. Nigeria is just 66. Don't give up. It doesn't matter. A child of destiny does not die before his time.
Okay.
The people are saying are good, so continue to don't give up. It doesn't matter. Whatever that happens in 2023, there is a platform.
Like, we got to hurry up with this prayer. Thank you. Thank you. Hello. Comrade, you've got 10 seconds. Oh, yeah. Give. Koboko. Koboko, your line is gone. I don't have the time, unfortunately. Koboko. Sorry, you snooze, you lose. Hello.
Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. What's your name? Where are you calling from, please?
My name is Shegun.
Right, Shegun, go ahead. You have 10 seconds.
I'm calling from Bariga, yes.
Go ahead.
In the face of the problem that we have in Nigeria right now, my question is this. We have a serious ethnic problem in Nigeria. It's a very serious one. That is why we have that's the main cause of the insecurity. Now, I want to direct my question is this, Shore. I want to ask you, what exactly will you do about the restructuring when it comes to the ethnic problem we have in Nigeria? Thank you very much.
Okay. Restructuring an ethnic problem, right. Any more calls? Hello, are you there?
My own baby.
Good afternoon. Mr. Frank, go ahead. Give your questions, please. You've got 10 seconds.
My brother, I'm sure.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
It's Nigeria.
I can't hear you.
Can you hear me?
Yes, now.
How possible is it in this Nigeria for us to return dollar, at least for 200 naira per dollar?
Okay, you want 200 naira per dollar.
Is it possible
for
us to be refining our own crude oil here in this country.
Okay.
Officially.
Thank you. Thank you so much. We're going to answer one last call and then I'm going to give Shore a chance to answer your questions. Hello.
Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. What's your name? Where are you calling from, please?
Yeah, my name is Sam. I'm calling from Okota.
Go ahead, Sam.
Yes, I want to tell. I want to ask Shore certain questions.
Mm-hmm.
In 2014,
you have one question or one.
Okay, no problem. In 2014.
Yeah.
Yeah, he joined the ruling party, which is the APC,
mm-hmm.
through his Sahara the reporter.
Mm-hmm.
To bring down Goodluck Jonathan government.
Mm-hmm.
He was among the people.
What's the question, please? I'm literally running out of time. We really don't have time.
He criticized the government and said there was no subsidy. Mm-hmm. And today he's on the radio to tell Nigerians that there is subsidy, that is going to remove subsidy. I want him to say something about that.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Okay. There you go. We'll start back forward. Go ahead. Over to you. You've got. You actually have 3 minutes because we're closing soon.
There was never a time I said subsidy today.
Okay.
I said I'm not removing what doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
The subsidy they have is the subsidy of the elite.
Okay.
So he's wrong. It's also wrong to say that I joined the ruling party.
You are not a member of APC?
I was never a member of APC. I've never joined a political party before in 2018. I voted for the first time in my life in 2019.
Okay.
But I want to say that the biggest enemy of the Jonathan regime was Jonathan himself and his ministers and everybody.
Oh, no. Okay, we can do that. You need to answer more questions.
Yes, so
the other question.
The other question is restructuring and ethnicity. Mm-hmm. I've said it. All the ethnic groups mm-hmm. need to go to a table where the restructuring they're advocating for can happen.
Okay.
So it's not something that can be done by reform or modification of a constitution that had no legitimacy in the first place. The 1999 constitution is a fraudulent document imposed on the Nigerian people by mm-hmm. the Nigerian army
mm-hmm.
or military.
Mm-hmm.
It's unacceptable.
Okay.
Somebody was asking if we can make the dollar 200 to...
Well, he said, is it possible?
Is it possible for us
to refine our oil in this
yes,
country?
Yes, we can refine our...
You think it's possible to make it $200 to one?
$200
to $1?
If we start with all these policies...
Well, I made promises.
I'm not making promises. I'm telling you possibilities.
Okay.
You understand? That if you start producing the way I described to you with small businesses, big businesses, all those companies that run to Ghana, Michelin and the rest of them will be back in Nigeria if you have electricity.
What would you say you can bring it down to? We're currently at about 730, 740. We vacillate between
so
that.
So, you know, one what of the things that needs to be done immediately mm-hmm. is to get rid of the multiple rates, the fraudulent multiple rates at mm-hmm. the CBN,
mm-hmm.
so that nobody has a right to sell dollar at 350,
mm-hmm.
Buy at 350 and go and sell at 730.
Mm-hmm.
That should be completely, let's have one official rate
okay.
that controls even what goes on in the black market.
Okay.
The other question that somebody asked.
Yeah, Jankonde. He lives in Jankonde.
Yes.
He's literally living in the ghetto.
We talked about housing.
Yeah.
You know, one day someone drove me to Banana Island. And I was disappointed that that's the place they call Banana Island. Because it's like public housing for me in the U.S. Right? 2 hours of rain, that place is flooded.
I'm telling you. I can't even speak.
Exactly. So I'm like, so this is what they call projects.
Yeah, but that's not the point. The point of the matter is there are Nigerians who are living in
because
ghettos.
Because we are not building houses for them.
But an island to you might be the ghetto. That is the dream for many Nigerians.
That's because they've never seen housing, public housing before.
Yeah, but Surulere, we have public housing now.
How many?
Jakonde built public housing.
That's what's the last time public housing
that's what
was
I'm saying.
Built.
So are you going
so
to
what I'm saying is that
rather than
building a bunch of, you know, overpriced concrete in front of a lagoon is not what is going to solve public housing. That place should be public houses.
Okay.
You know.
Now, before we go, because my guy here, I know, you see when she sits like that, she's about
she
to throw
to
me off
out.
Air. So here's the thing. Now, in all honesty, that gentleman that called from Jakonde, he doesn't care where you build the houses. He just wants a home over his
exactly.
Home. And I think you and I we're agreed on that.
Yes.
Here's the thing. When we started this, you did say, I am going to be the next president.
Of Nigeria. Yes.
Of Nigeria.
Yes.
What if you don't win?
I cannot imagine a situation where the brightest and the best and the finest will not win the next election.
But what if you don't win?
I'm not calculating not to win, you know. But you see, what is important is that these ideas are out there. And the moment they win, we win. and I'm not speaking philosophically. I think Nigeria and young people, old people, strong and weak, should understand that we wasted too much of our time.
Would you be interested in a coalition?
If the coalition carries our kind of ideas, I could not and I cannot put myself in a position where I'll be boxed into saying that the party I will join, because I have not seen any of these parties with the kind of ideologies that can attract our attention.
Okay, here's something, right? For the first time since we've been having a conversation, I heard your American accent.
Oh.
Now, you have, and you've always teased me about my British accent, you know, I grew up there. Here's the thing, you have a green card.
Yes.
You could choose to live in America.
If I want.
But here you are.
Yes.
What brought you back?
I was just, I lived 20 years in America, and I told myself that, yes, it's a beautiful place. People made it beautiful, made it livable, made it a country that's, you know, all-encompassing, even though we don't want to talk about inadequacies of the American society here. And that our country, Nigeria, is probably the best place to live if we get it right.
So you came to make it better.
I came back to make it better.
Excellent.
And now my green card is even not useful to me anymore.
Right.
Yeah, because I've been out of status.
Okay.
For some 3 years now.
So now here we die, as they say, Bridget.
But it's always been like that for me.
You know. Final question before we are thrown off air.
Yes.
What keeps you up at night?
Ah, man, everything.
One. That's that key thing about Nigeria that keeps you up at night.
Oh man, I just kind of think like, how could we have such vibrant people that are led by dumb people? I'm sorry to use the word dumb because it has, you know,
disability connotations.
Mm-hmm. You know.
But I get what you're saying.
Yeah. So it drives me crazy that we can't get it right when we have enough people who can make it right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that sometimes makes me feel miserable at night.
Mm.
And it's depressing. Yeah.
Right. Now, have I got time to answer to... See, my oga has said, you people, it's not me, don't blame you. It is my oga that is throwing us off. Omoyele Sowore, you've got to come back because you've got a whole 5 months.
Absolutely.
Are you prepared?
Yeah.
How prepared are you?
I'm always prepared. I came prepared from the time.
You've got 5 months. Can you afford to keep going?
I mean, I didn't.
Have you raised enough money?
I spent more than 5 months doing this in 2018, 2019.
Mm-hmm.
I only did in campaign. I campaigned in 35 states in Nigeria.
Right.
And I campaigned in about 7 countries abroad, including 4 in Canada, about 7 cities in the US, 4 cities in Australia, South Africa, Ghana.
Mm-hmm.
I went to Spain, Italy, Germany. There's nowhere where there are Nigerians that didn't get to in 2018.
Right.
I was practically like flying red eye, as they say in the US. Like it's just like you wake up on one side of the world, before you know it, you are back to another part of the world.
Okay, and she wants back to in throw
Nigeria.
Us off.
Yes.
We have to go, she's saying.
Thank you.
Omoyele Sowore, thank you so much.
Always a pleasure.
You've got to come back.
Absolutely.
All right, we'll continue from where we left off.
All right.
Because I still have so many questions.
Yes.
Thank you. Right, contact.
Okay, yes.
Those of you who need to contact, because we had some questions about...
Yeah, that's our phone number where you can call us.
Right, you can call if you want to join African...
African Action Congress, AAC.
I put my teeth back in. All right, okay. The number is +234 if you're abroad, 803-274-2181. Again, 803, that's 0803-274-2181.
Thank you
so
much.
Have a good weekend, people. They're throwing me off here. Bye.